good to see you guys. Today I wanted to have my message obviously focused towards the fathers in the room and towards the men in the room. And but every message here at Journey, as you know, applies to everybody. And I know as women that that I know you'll grab something from this too. But this message isn't so like focused on men, and we're not so old school that we as women can't get something from this. But I believe that scripture, you can't escape that scripture, speaks to men leading and having that leadership role. And so that's what I wanted to focus on today, was men as leaders. And at first, when Jesse had the idea of me speaking on Father's Day, I was very intimidated. You know, I'm not a father, I'm a mother. So, you know, this was a little intimidating. I look up to a lot of you men, and for me to say, this is how you should lead as a father, or this is how you need to be as a man, is something that's something I feel like, okay, I don't have that perspective. But if I take it from a totally different perspective and I say, you know, that it would be great for you guys to hear from somebody who is a follower, somebody from a different type of role, as somebody who is here to follow and take that role as a support role in our family and in the church many times, I thought, okay, I have something that I can share with you. I do have the ability to share with you what has helped me as a follower, what has inspired me as I have followed, and even the direction that I've been given in my life. And as I was reflecting on all of these things, I thought about like some really key things that I think would help. And the key verse that I want to use today is from Matthew 22:37-40. And it starts out with a lawyer, and he asks Jesus, what's the greatest commandment? And Jesus' response is this. He says to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the great and foremost commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend the whole law and the prophets. And I believe this should be the backbone of life as leaders. The most important thing that we could possibly do with our lives is lead with loving God with all of our heart and with all of our soul and with all of our mind. And right after that statement, it says that we need to apply this to the people around us. So everything that we do should rest on this scripture. But before we break down this scripture into the three parts that I want to share with you guys today, I want to ask some reflection questions throughout the message. And the first one that I wanted to ask you today is, where are you leading the people that are following you? Even women, I know we can take this, because we have leadership roles in many ways, and many times we have to step into that role. And so, where are you leading the people that are following you? God has created us to lead, and people are following you, and it's important to take them to a place of purpose. Paul shares the church to follow his leadership. In 1 Corinthians 11:1, it says, follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. And that's a huge responsibility to wear on our shoulders. And what's even bigger is that God is holding us accountable to that leadership and that influence that you've been given to use for him. Now, men, God has placed you in a place of leadership. And he's going to hold you responsible, not just for your life and how you are leading those around you, but with your life, how are you leading them? So dads, husbands, husbands-to-be, I want you to know that we as followers are depending on you to create that atmosphere where we can grow in God. I'm honored to follow those leading my life. And as a follower, I want to share those things that have helped, that can help you as a leader, help us as we follow. It's based off of the scripture that I just read in Matthew 22. And so the first one is that God says to love him with all your heart. I took the word heart as having a passion for Christ. You know, I believe it's so much easier to follow someone who loves what they're doing and is excited about what they're doing. And it hit me a few weeks ago. I knew I was going to be preaching on Father's Day, and I was sitting in the front row, and Jesse's speaking. And instead of just sharing his message, just standing here like I am now, and in a monotone voice talking like this, he's jumping off the stage, jumping onto the front row of chairs, and speaking very passionately what he's talking about. And I thought about it, it's like if he was doing just standing here and just speaking in a monotone voice with no passion behind it, like, would you be sitting in these chairs right now each and every Sunday if that was what it was like? I know I probably wouldn't be sitting there on the front row, you know? It would be really hard. I'm sorry, Jess. The passion behind what he does, though, is why we're here. You know, we believe in what he's saying. We know that he is all in with what he's talking about. He's fully committed to it because of that passion. In Romans 12:11, it says, not lagging behind in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. And I looked up what the word fervent means, because I think it goes, what the definition of passion is what I'm talking about. And it said hot or glowing, intensely passionate, enthusiasm and excitement. And lately our family's been watching the show The Island. I don't know if you guys have heard of it. It's kind of a new show. And it's basically, if you haven't, it's this group of men, they're just isolate. They're put on this deserted island, and they've got to survive. They've given no tools, nothing to survive, but they have to just figure out how to make it work. And so all of them don't know each other. They come together. The first thing they obviously realize they need is water. So they're getting dehydrated really fast. They're looking everywhere for water. They finally find some fresh water. And then the next important thing they realize, they need fire, because you've got to be able to purify the water that's there. And they can't just drink it. They have to purify it because of the bacteria and different things in it. So I think this correlates so perfectly with that being fervent, that hot and glowing fire as we serve the Lord. Because our passion to follow Christ is like this fire that burns out all of the impurities and the contamination that can come into our lives and come into our relationship with God if we're not excited. And I think that burns all of that out of our lives, where we're able to focus on him, we're able to have that relationship. And it's so important to have that. You know, our relationship with God shouldn't be an obligation. It shouldn't be something where we feel like when we walk in these doors, we have to be here. But it should be something we're excited about. You know, this world is a dark place a lot of times, and that fervency to follow Christ is like a light for us as followers to see where we need to go. And so if we have leaders that are passionate about what they're doing, they're passionate about God, it's going to be so much easier for us as followers to see where we're going. And that true passion, I believe, is what's going to get you through the battles that come. And that desire to follow God is what's going to get you through the battles that come. How bad, you know, here's another reflection question. How bad do you want your relationship with God? Is it something that is just there because it's convenient? Or do you see it as life-sustaining and that you can't live without it, like fire and water? So I want us to examine where we are. And I know for me, I do this regularly. I reflect. I love reflection questions. What am I spending a lot of time on lately? Because I know that's where my passion is lying. So men leaders, we need your passion to love the Lord your God with all your heart. the other key word that I want to focus on in Matthew 22, it says to love God with all your soul. So when I see the word soul, I see the word integrity. And what I mean is, who are you really? Underneath the skin, the real you, who are you? Behind the closed door, who are you? When nobody's around, who are you? I believe our integrity defines who we are. So I want to use the example of Job. In Job 8:20, it says, "Lo, God will not reject a man of integrity, nor will he support the evildoers." Job was looked at as an upright man. Anything and everything bad that could happen, happened to Job. And what did he do? He continued to keep his eyes on God no matter what. So when I think of integrity, I think of the word upright, which makes me think of a tree. And no matter what storms may come, if that tree is healthy, it's going to stand. Just like Job. I love visuals. And so the best visual that I had in my life was watching my dad as a kid. He's a man that is quiet, but he's a strong leader. And why was he such a strong leader? It was because he led with integrity. He had a standard, and he held to those standards even in the tough times and the trials that came in life. And as a kid, I was watching. I saw what I heard in church when we went every Sunday, and when we read the Bible, I saw what was being said in church and what was in the Bible being reflected in my home. And it was so easy because I got that visual. I knew what to strive for. I knew what was important in life, and it helped me to create that desire to want to live a life of integrity for myself. So my question is for you, another reflection question. What is the visual that you're giving to the people that you lead daily? This is a good question for us as leaders. This is a good question for fathers and husbands-to-be. As followers, we need leaders who will stand upright no matter what may come their way. A lot of times we can't see what needs to happen until someone is living it out in front of us. Another great verse that I found on integrity is in Proverbs 11:3. It says, "The integrity of the upright will guide them, but the crookedness of the treacherous will destroy them." The word I want to highlight is them. Who are the them in your life? The people that you are connected to or the you have the ability to influence. You're making an impact in people's lives around you. The question is, what kind of impact are you making? So men leaders, please know the influence that you have is powerful. It's already there. All you need to do is embrace it, to walk in that purpose boldly. And with all that you have, stay closely connected with God. We need leaders of integrity to love God with all their soul. And the last key word that I want to hit on today is in Matthew 22. And the last one is to love God with all your mind. When I thought of mind and I thought of leading, it automatically made me think of wisdom as being vital. I think that wisdom is the key that would help us as we follow our leaders. They must obtain wisdom. And a great example of wisdom is King Solomon. In 2 Chronicles 1:7 through 12, it is basically, I'm just going to paraphrase this part, but basically God's asking Solomon, "What do you want? I'll give you anything. What is it that you want?" And Solomon, he asked for wisdom. And I believe God's so impressed with this answer that he gives it. Not only does he give him wisdom, but he blesses him more than any king that was before him and more than any king that comes after him. This says to me that God values wisdom and those who ask him for it. In James 1:5, it says, but if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives to all generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. Rick Warren does a great job of breaking the scripture down. He highlights just a few things. And one of those things he highlights is the word gives. In the Greek, the word gives is in the continuous sense. So that means that it keeps on going. It's not just a one-time give. God is going to continually give it. So I believe if you're going through one situation and you're needing wisdom for that, you're asking God and he's going to give it for that situation. And then you go through another situation. You ask again, he's going to give that again. It's something that he will continually give. It doesn't run out. He also uses the word generously in the scripture. And generously, I think, is a great way of saying, you know, God's resources are unlimited. He has more than enough resources and more than enough wisdom to go around for each and every person in this room. We have no reason not to ask for wisdom. And God gives wisdom without finding fault. He doesn't look at one person and say they deserve it, but this person doesn't. He's going to give it to everyone. He's not saying, well, you need to do this first or you need to do that. If you need wisdom, ask God, and he wants to give that to you. We can all agree that wisdom is something we all need in our lives. And how cool is it that God wants to give us wisdom, something that's so really, so very valuable, and he's not holding, like withholding it from us like we have to earn it. It's something he's willing to give us. He wants us to seek it, to desire it, and to ask him for wisdom. And really, God is wisdom. And us relying on him as our wisdom for each and every problem is a simple way to navigate through life. So no matter if you feel inadequate to lead or underqualified, because I believe we all do at times, but I think it's great to look at it this way. Isn't it good to feel inadequate? Isn't it good that we don't have all of the answers within ourselves? That we have to rely on God? Because otherwise, what would we do if it was all within ourselves? We wouldn't need God, but we do need God. We need him. I believe sometimes we forget that, and we try to do life, and we try to make decisions without him. But if we realize we all, if we humble ourselves, if we're willing to listen to his guidance and advice, then I believe we can be the best influence and leader that we possibly can. And the more we let him lead our lives, the less we're leading with our imperfect ways of doing things. This message today, I just wanted to be a reminder to all of us, to our leaders, to each person that I know you take a role in leadership at some point in your life. That following Christ is something that we can do, and it's not hard. It's just us being willing, and God is going to equip us with everything we need to do it. And because I love visuals so much, I wanted to have a leader come up on the stage. Emil, if you could come up. And I wanted to have your family come up too. And then maybe a couple ushers to help us out. I just have, it's not any crazy visual, but it's just a simple visual to show kind of what it looks like, that visual of our leader. He leads, he's one of our leaders and ushers, and then with his family, leading his family. If we got a squish in or however we want to do it, but I want to make like a single file line, like that game you guys know, Follow the Leader. You play it as a kid. When we were kids, we would play this game, follow the leader. And basically, you know, when the leader's in the front and everybody's behind following, it's hard to see where to go. They're really relying on that leader to take them where they're going. And so, you know, each person behind him is relying on him and needing him to know where is it that we need to go. His relationship with God is affecting each and every person behind him, because that responsibility now is on his shoulders when he's stepping into the role as leading the ushers, or when he is in the role leading his family in the direction they need to go. You know, he has that sight and that vision of where to go. And maybe you're like, I know I need to be that leader. I know I need to step into that role, but it's something that's intimidating, something that's hard to do. But God will give you, as you ask and you said, okay, God, I'm ready to do it. I'm ready to go where you want me to go. I'm ready to lead and step into that role. He's going to give him everything he needs, equip him, give him the vision, give him everything that he needs to be able to lead this group of people where they need to go in those specific situations. So I think what would be great today is to find a man, to find a husband, to find a father, and get behind him and pray for him. Whether he is leading or he knows he might step into that role at one point in his life, let's all, if we could, stand up and find somebody to pray with, whether it's your husband, a father, a man in this room. If we could show the men in this room that we're behind them, we're supporting them, we know that they have a great role to play, and it'll be a great influence for them. And if you guys want to find your families or find somebody, I want you guys to get prayer too and pray. And let's find somebody to pray with right now. And Micah, if you want to come up, I want to pray for Jesse too. Obviously, as the father and husband of our family, as he leads us, you know, he's a great preacher, and all of you know that. He's a great pastor. But he's an even greater husband and father. And I think that's so important, that what he says and does in this room is lived out behind the scenes at home. And I want him to feel honored. I mean, this isn't my favorite thing to come up and be a public speaker, but I'm glad for the opportunity to be able to honor him and let him know that what he does and the sacrifices he makes and him serving our family is a huge impact for our lives. So I want to pray for him too. And as you guys just, like, let's all pray and let's just know that God is going to move. And I don't want to be the only one speaking and praying, so I want you guys to be praying and joining in too. And let's pray for our leaders and our men and our fathers in this room.